Well, welcome everybody to this teleclass, which is Speaking to Grow Your Organising Business. I'm Angela Anoff, and I run the Professional Organisers Edge, as well as Creating Order from Chaos. The Edge is a membership program designed specifically for professional organisers to help them grow their businesses, be the best organiser they can be, and work towards APO accreditation, which is why I'll be sharing some code words for during the teleclass. And I suggest you have a pen and paper handy for a couple of reasons. One is to record those code words, and I will tell you what to do with them once you've recorded them. But also because there may be one or two exercises for you to do some writing during this teleclass. Now, if you need to, you can mute yourself by hitting star six, unmute by hitting star six as well, and I will stop for Q&A and as well at the end, during. And we'll answer as many questions as we need to. It is a busy time of year, but I'm happy to hang around and answer as many questions about speaking to grow your organising business as you like. All right. Why are we talking about this? Well, speaking is a very effective way to grow your organising business. It does give a personal touch so that potential clients, people that might want to hire you to organise their home or office or business, do get to know you and see you in action. And so you can develop a good bond quickly when you're speaking. You get to reach more people than you normally would, talking one-on-one. You can get paid well from your speaking, especially over time as you've built up content. And in fact, the practice of speaking helps you build content as well. And content is any kind of stuff, words you say, the handouts and all of that stuff that people value. Your knowledge basically gets put into action, and that's building content. And you get to grow your reputation. So, for instance, if you were speaking at a local library, 50 people may attend, another 150 may have heard of you, even if they didn't attend. And therefore, the next time they see your name or think about getting organised or hear somebody say, I want to get organised, they're likely to remember you rather than the person who didn't speak. Now, about tonight's teleclass. The marketing for this teleclass said it would show you the steps to get the word out, generate maximum bookings, inspire your audience, turn your words into profit, and have fun doing it. So that's exactly what we're going to cover in tonight's teleclass. And then I know that some people think, oh my God, there's no way I could ever speak to an audience. I could never stand up in front of a bunch of people and speak. So for all the people who are straight away thinking, oh, I couldn't possibly, I want you to have a rethink. That was me many years ago. It didn't take me long before I started dipping my toe into the speaking gigs because it's such a good way to get the word out there for your business. But I've got a question for you. If you think you can't speak to audiences, I want to ask you, do you love organising? And could you talk to somebody at a party, say you're at a New Year's party and you've never met somebody before and they say, what do you do? And you start talking to them about your work as an organiser. Do you think you could talk one-on-one with that person and convey to them what you love about organising? And I'm guessing that if you love organising, you love to talk about organising. So what is it that you love about organising? And this brings me to the very first little exercise I want you to do, and that is write down a couple of things that you love about organizing. Is it the thrill of, you know, helping someone find exactly what they need? Is it the thrill of seeing the weight of the world lift off somebody's shoulders? Is it that you love sorting and organizing things yourself and you get to do it in other people's homes? So whatever it is about organizing that you love, write that down. And, of course, if you're listening to the recording of this, this is where you get to pause and write down as many things as you like. And if you're live here, I suggest you come back to this list of things that you love about organizing as often as you like. Just add things on, because those little stories about what you love about organizing will help you to build workshops, content, help you with conversations about organizing at the party, etc. So let's move on. Now, speaking can start out as simple as a conversation over coffee. If you're afraid of speaking to large groups, forget that idea for now and just think about having a conversation with somebody who might be interested in getting organized. Could you sit down with them over a coffee and talk about it? Talk about some of the things that you've gained from being organized. Some of the things that they might gain from being organized. Now, expand that idea to a group of three people. And actually, one of the things that I've done in my career is have little coffee chats with people. I've announced that I'm, you know, available for a chat in a cafe and invited people to join me. And sometimes there's been one person, sometimes six or more have turned up. And that is a little mini workshop, a little opportunity for you to show a little bit of your expertise, get to know these people, get them to know you, etc. So start small with your speaking before taking a big giant step into the the big speaking gigs that you might have been thinking of originally, that you might not, you know, you, they were scary at first. When I first started my business, I, as I said, quickly realised that speaking was going to help me get in front of more people, therefore make more money. And so I went along to a Toastmasters group for at least a couple of years, and I learnt a lot, mostly confidence, a lot of really practical tips about how to stand, what to do with your hands, how to stop yourself from saying and ah, how to not cry in front of an audience. I know that sounds weird, but, in Toastmasters, sometimes you get to tell a personal story and you've got to stand there and tell it without, you know, emotion bubbling up. That can be quite a useful thing to learn. They tell you how to breathe, how to regulate your breath and therefore appear more confident. Things like that can really help. So I suggest there are, you know, Toastmasters groups all over the countries, all over the world, and other groups as well, not just Toastmasters, that really help you gain confidence and some skills in speaking. So have a think about doing that. The really important thing, I think, is, of course, in our business, we want to enjoy it. Why else would we be in business for ourselves other than to have some fun? Nobody goes into business for themselves because they think it's going to be hard work. we need it to be a little bit of fun. And if speaking can be made fun, you're likely to do it well and to do it more often. So that for a lot of people, even though it is no fun at the moment, I'm going to share with you some fun tips and things to make it a little bit more fun and to help you see speaking as not the enemy, but maybe something that would be worthwhile doing for your business. And that brings me to the very first code word for tonight, which is fun. Let's make speaking fun. Now, the other thing about speaking is it's got to be worthwhile, especially if you don't enjoy it. It's got to be worthwhile. And the title of the class is Speaking to Grow Your Organizing Business. And when I say grow your organizing business, I'm talking about the money. Now, there are lots of ways to earn money through speaking. And right from the outset, I'm going to share with you that you don't have to get paid for every speaking gig. And especially in the start, when you're maybe speaking to a few groups of people, you know, a few people at a coffee chat, I'd suggest you buy them coffee. And then, you know, they'll be forever grateful to you and willing to listen to what you say. So you don't have to get paid immediately, but there are ways that you can make that free talk you do worthwhile financially. First of all, how can you make it fun? Well, you can count your dollars. And that's something I tell people in business in general, and especially I mentioned it in the teleclass called Know Your Numbers. You've got to be making some money. You've got to be tracking how much you're making. And if you separate out the money that you get directly from your speaking, you'll quickly see that it's worthwhile. So back to the free talks. How can you make it worth your while? Well, the number one thing is to make sure you can get people's contact details. It's no use having a big free talk, you have 100 people in the room and they all walk away with your fabulous tips, but you have no idea who they were and how to contact them again. You've got to make sure there's a way to capture their details. Now, not everybody is going to want to give them to you, and that's okay because they're not likely to be your future client anyway. But most people will give you their details if you give them a good enough reason. We'll talk more about how to get the details later. Another way to make it worth your while is to sell content. I said earlier, anything you do, the words you say, the books, handouts, etc., that you generate is content. And some of that you give away free, and some of that you can sell. So, for instance, if somebody's really enjoyed a talk from you, but they need more, you know, they realise they need to get organised and they want more, one way to get more would be to buy a book from you, whether it's a book that you've written, as in an e-book or small, you know, leaflets or whatever, or even books, you know, maybe your favourite organising books that you sell on sale as a profit. You could be selling the next step. Now, what is the next step for them? It may be that, you know, the next step is a needs assessment that you can come and have a look at their space. You could be selling that appointment. You could be selling big programs too. You know, we've talked about creating that kind of content before. The a month-long program or a year-long program or, you know, they're going to invite you over to organise their home and they're willing to pay for the whole 10-hour session or whatever up front. And another way to make it worthwhile for you is for the person who enjoyed your talk but doesn't feel they want to hand over their details or buy anything from you, there's still a way to make that connection worthwhile, and that is to ask for more speaking opportunities. So a bit like if you've ever been to a Tupperware party and the host, the person doing the demo says, would you like to have a party of your own? you can do the same with your speaking. Now, people will have church groups, sporting groups, school groups, you know, workplaces that they think, yeah, I know somebody, you know, I know a group of my friends or colleagues would really enjoy this. Please come and speak to us. Now, there's your opportunity. You can start to figure out, who is it? Is this a group of people that I'll be speaking to for free, or is there some other way for me to make money? So always be thinking of how can you leverage the speaking opportunity you've just had. You're in front of a whole bunch of people who are now so thrilled with what you've told them that they're willing to you know, offer up some speaking opportunities for you. Okay, so that's the free course. What about if you were to charge? Now, there's plenty of those going around, plenty of opportunities for you to set up a workshop, have a little talk that people pay to come along to, and that works brilliantly. Of course, there's a few ways to do it. One is that people pay per seat. You know, they pay to attend that particular talk. And the other is that it's part of a larger program, that they pay to be a part of a series of talks. Now, you might say that the Professional Organiser's Edge is something similar to that, that people who are members get free access to the monthly teleclass as well as a bunch of other things, but they've paid in their membership rather than paying per seat. Of course, these teleclasses are also available to people who aren't part of the membership but who just want to attend the odd teleclass. So, again, you will want to make sure you capture their details, even though, you know, just because someone's paid for it once doesn't mean you shouldn't grab their contact details so you can let them know when the next exciting talk is, because they are very likely to turn up again. And I'm happy to say that many of the people that come along to my talks and teleclasses and so on are repeat customers, which is wonderful. Then you also want to be selling the next step. What is the next opportunity for people to work with you? Because what happens is, over time, people get to know you and trust you. If they do like you and trust you, they're going to be willing to learn more from you, whether that's in their home, in their office, at the next teleclass, in an online program, or any of those things. So, you know, be prepared with what's next. So that's just a few ways that you can sell your spaces at your events. And then, of course, there's getting paid a speaking fee. So it really, in those cases, you get the fee to speak to a group. Now, there's usually an agreement about how many will be in that group you know, how many you're comfortable with speaking to. But whoever is paying you is wearing the cost of whatever it takes. If they pay you X dollars, maybe $2,000 to speak, it, you know, it doesn't matter to you whether they sell tickets or they don't, whether they have 50 in the room or just 3. You're still getting the same fee for the speaking. Now, one way to, when you're first starting out with this speaking thing, and it's very hard to know how much to charge. You know, this is so tricky because, for instance, let's say a gym owner asks you to come and speak to their gym members, and they're willing to pay you. Well, they're likely to offer you less money than, say, a corporate business or a government department will be able to afford to pay you. So in that case, it's good to have a preconceived idea for you yourself to figure out how much will you tell them that you charge. Two things to say to them. One is, what's your budget? And then you know straight away when they tell you what their budget is, they will, you know, you'll know what's possible for you to mention. But also you can say to them, my speaking range is from X dollars to X dollars. So that, you know, you'd be surprised how often that comes up. If you said my speaking fee is from 300 to 3,000, you know, sometimes the inclination is to think, oh, well, why would anybody pay 3,000 if they can get it for 300? But of course, it just opens up the conversation. And that, you know, if they haven't told you their budget already, they will definitely say, well, we're at the lower end, or, yeah, that sounds all right. And I've had that so often where I've declared what my speaking fee is and the person accepting the quote has taken it so fast that you realise, okay, next time somebody asks who's similar to that, I can up my fee. Just things that you learn along the way. So have an idea in your own mind about how much you're willing to speak for, etc. Now, if somebody says to you, oh, you know, we're just a struggling playgroup, we don't have funds for speaking, you could say something like, well, that's okay, because I have a limited number of places each year set aside for non-profit groups, and I can do it for nothing in exchange for. And you always want to make sure that people realise there is a cost to them, which might be the ability to sell, the guarantee that there will be at least 20 people there, you know, whatever you decide it would be, and of course including getting people's contact details and so on. So it doesn't matter whether you're doing this for free or you're selling little, you know, one-at-a-time seats in your workshop or you're getting paid a big speaking fee. The most important thing is that you deliver value. So all of this is not going to work at all if people walk out shaking their heads going, well, that was a waste of my time. And naturally, you've got to deliver value all the way along. Now, let me share the fun factor. Apart from counting your money, here's something to try, especially if you're just starting out or you're a bit shy about speaking. Do it with a friend. Do it with somebody you can work with easily, somebody you think might enhance the experience for you. This helps because you give each other ideas about how to structure, you know, the workshop or whatever it is that you're delivering. You can work together on the content. You have twice the database because there's two of you. And you know, it's a little more fun, which is the point of the fun factor tip. Now, I've got two examples of where I've done this. One was many years ago. I developed a full-day workshop with two colleagues, and they are also friends. One is a parenting coach. The other is a life coach that specialises in relationships. And me with my organising, together we developed a workshop called Keys to a Calmer Home Life. And this really resonated with our target market. You know, the women who were frustrated with the level of home organisation, parenting, and relationships at home. And it was a very successful thing. Now, as well as being successful financially and through reputation and everything, I learned a lot. I learned a lot about some different ideas of how to structure a workshop. You know, so stepping outside of myself and working in collaboration with somebody else really helped me build my skills as well. And the other example of where I've done this with a friend is with Wendy Haynes, who runs Skeletons in the Closet. And she and I have had a very successful collaboration doing our working with Hoarders one-day course, which we've delivered to all kinds of different groups. And we've been, you know, we're on tour, basically. Next year we go on tour again to Country Victoria. So, you know, this is really something we've created once. We keep tweaking and developing as we, you know, each time we deliver it, there is an improvement. But the basic hard work is done. And now we're reaping the benefits. And it really is fun when Wendy and I go on a road trip to Tasmania this year and Country Victoria next year. It'll be great. Okay, so any questions so far? No, okay. Next, I was going to talk to you about how to get the word out. So this is really important. Obviously, if nobody hears about your workshop or your event, you won't get sales, you won't get reputation, you won't get any money. So it is important to get the word out to as many people as possible, and hopefully as early as possible. So as soon as you know when you're going to hold this event and the title of it, start advertising it. Start advertising well before you've even built the content or thought about the first line that you're going to say, etc. Now, how do you get the word out? Well, you use your database. Which brings me back to why it's so important to grab people's contact details and so on. You know, the database is really so important. And, of course, it's just one of the ways to get the word out. Posters at the venue is another way, particularly if it's a well-trafficked public place, for instance, a library, a community centre, adult education place, you know, the church, the school, all of those places, you know, will probably have a notice board and a newsletter that they could publish your event in, etc. So whatever is available to you through the venue, make sure you use it. Use your local media. I really think local media is wonderful. People read it. People hang on to that, you know, the local paper. They listen to the local radio station as well. Never underestimate it. So however you can get the word out, do that. And of course, there's online. Use your online avenues. Every Facebook, Twitter, you know, whatever it is that you're on in the social media realm, use that. And if you're not on it, use your database again of colleagues who are willing to spread the word for you and ask them. So if you prepare a PDF, an image, whatever it is that you're going to use for online marketing, make sure you share it with people and make it easy for them to promote your event as well. And, of course, use other people's databases. Ask them, if you're sending a newsletter out to your people, would you mind mentioning my event? That really works well. I said before to get the word out early, but it really is, it's a bit like voting. Vote often, vote early and often. repeat your message about your event. I have to say, I don't always do that myself, but it is never too late to get the word out. Just today, this morning, one of the first things I did in my office was to send out an email to let people know about tonight's teleclass. I had put it out on Facebook and other avenues already, but I hadn't yet sent an email. So, you know, don't be inclined to think, oh, it's too late because it's the day of. Actually, a lot of people these days don't commit until the day of. You know, they go, oh, yeah, yeah, and they are so trained by email marketing that they know, oh, there'll be a reminder, etc. So I have to say, there were sending my email this morning was really valuable. I got a really good response, and hello to those people who responded to the email this morning. So repeat, repeat, repeat. And it's probably a good idea to have a little marketing schedule. If you've got an event coming up, make sure you hit those marks. You know, tell people as soon as you've got your date set, give them another reminder and an opportunity to book, you know, a couple of weeks out from the event and 1 week out and 3 days out and even the day off. So what is the fun factor here in getting the word out? Include you. Include your personality in the marketing. What can people expect apart from hearing about getting organized? Make sure there's a little dash of what makes you special in all your marketing. This is something I'm going to try to do myself a lot more of. So, you know, please come along on the journey with me and include you, because people want to do business with people that they know, like, and trust. Let a little of what makes you special shine through, and they'll be drawn to you all the more. And that is our second code word, you. What makes you special? Okay, now, how do you get maximum bookings? You're getting the word out there. So how do you get people to actually book? Well, you've got to make signing up easy. You know, the standard click here, add a couple of details, etc., or whatever it takes. So that might be accepting credit card details. It might be, you know, having an automated system on your website for those things to happen. Whatever it takes, make it easy. Now, if you don't have a website yet, and if you don't have a website that has that functionality, there are lots of online and you know, programs that you can use. Eventbrite is just one of the ones that I know a lot of people use. Woofoo, which is WUFOO, is another one. You know, there's lots of apps and things. And even Constant Contact, you can book using that. So I'm sure there's lots and lots of other things that make signing up easy as well. Another way is for you to let the venue do it for you. And this is why it's great to choose your venue carefully. And if it is a public place that's willing to do the work for you, for instance, a library, you know, they want reasons to bring people to their library. And if they've got a great speaker, I know some organisers that have, you know, sold out quickly because they've been in libraries. You know, let the venue do some of the work for you in helping with the bookings. And even better if they take the bookings and then you just have to turn up. That's wonderful. Of course, market the benefits of what you're going to teach as well as the features. So the feature might be, you know, you'll hear about X, Y, and Z, but why? Why is that going to change their life? Why are they going to come out on a cold winter's night to hear you speak about that? You've got to give them enough reason to you know, leave all that, the comfort of their home, and come out and do it. One way to get maximum bookings is to offer a little taster of what to expect. Now, I've seen this done really effectively, especially in the online world. So you might offer a free taste of you. It might be a 10-minute free, you know, online conversation, a teleclass or something. It might be, you know, a handout with some tips that offers a taster of you. You know, here's the advertising about what you're going to get at the workshop, but, you know, here's a little extra. Here's some free tips even before you've signed up. Now, people are going to see that value and go, wow, that's what I'm getting for free and not even signing up. Imagine what I'm going to get on the night. Stay in touch. Stay in touch with the venue. Make sure they are on top of the promotion. If they're in charge of the promotions, make sure they're doing their job. Make sure they are, remembering to mention it to their constituents. You could offer an early bird price or a bonus for signing up early. And this is good if you want to know in advance whether this is going to go ahead. If you have a minimum booking requirement, you know, if you say, I'm not coming out, I'm not going to do it for less than 10 people, a good way to get that initial 10 people signed up is to offer them something special. So you could say for the first 10 or 15 bookings, it's a cheaper price, or they're going to get, a 15-minute session with you on the phone, or, you know, something else. It might be there's a cut-off date instead of the first 15 or something like that. But giving people a reason to book early is very important. I do this with my professional organiser training because it helps me planning my year. If I can get people signed up well in advance, I know, you know, what size venue do I need to organise? Do I, you know, what sort of marketing do I need to do going forward and so on? So there's an early bird price and, you know, early bird catches the worm. So stay in touch with the organisers and be accessible. Make sure that you are, if people have questions, that they can get to you. Make sure you're seen. You know, put a photo on your booking process, whatever that looks like. Make sure people feel warm and fuzzy about coming to see you. And the fun factor. How can you get the fun factor into drumming up these bookings? Because it can seem a little bit like hard work at first. Well, what about rewarding yourself for each booking? Give yourself a little high five. maybe every time a booking comes through, you could, you know, give yourself an early night off or something. Whatever it is going to work for you, make sure that happens to make it fun, because we've got to make it fun for you. Okay, moving on to how to inspire your audience. So you have booked out, let's assume that, and now you've got people coming to your event. You have to wow them. You have to make sure they walk away going, yeah, that was worth my time. One thing is, don't overload them with lots and lots of information. Don't overwhelm them with everything you know about how to get organised. It can be tempting because you really want this for these people. You really love organising and you want them to succeed at being organised. But remember, they're not used to being organised. They're not used to all these things come naturally to you, but not to them. So keep it simple. Stick to key points and give them illustrations, as in not necessarily drawings, but examples of success or how to implement this tip or ways that this has helped people, practical things that they can do. Obviously, make it relevant. Now, I should have mentioned this right at the start. This has to be relevant to your target market. It's useless trying to attract people that you don't want to work with, basically. So make it relevant to them and change it up during your presentation. Change things up. If people have been sitting for a while, they might get fidgety. Get them to stand up and move around. Maybe they want to work in pairs sometimes. Remember that people learn at different paces and in different ways, and take that into consideration. And it is very helpful throughout your presentation to reinforce your message somehow. Now, going back to when I did the Keys to a Calmer Home Life, that was an all-day workshop. We had the luxury of time and space because we had a nice large room that we could work in. So we had people, you know, getting up, moving around the room for different activities. But then to reinforce each of the key messages, we had a little activity that really embedded that message. So have a think about how would that work for you in your workshop. Let people know about you. Again, I said inject some of what makes you special. Keep that up during the presentation. Inspire them to work with you afterwards. Let your personality shine. One thing that I admit to when I'm talking to groups is that I do have an overly large cookie cutter collection, even though I rarely make cookies. And this is, you know, it's just to show that we're human. It is a little joke between us, you know. I can relate to people having too much stuff because there are times when I have too much stuff myself. Also, let them know what else you do. You don't just stand up in front of people speaking. You actually go out and help people get organized. Or you run a program that does X, Y, and Z. Let them know. They may not know you at all before they walk in the door. You want them to know you very well before they leave. Now, the fun factor. Inject fun into your presentations with things like giveaways, chocolates, your favorite organizing tools, favorite quotes, meaningful exercises to ram home the message, something that is going to make them laugh, maybe even funny on-the-job stories. You know, obviously you're not going to divulge anybody's secrets and you're not going to share personal information, but there are some, you know, on-the-job, oh my God, you should have seen the spider kind of stories that you can share. All right, we're coming home like a train. So I promised you the simple steps, and I'm going to share with you now 10 steps if you're going to set yourself up to do a presentation. And this is for those ones where you're actually going to be taking bookings. So step number one, decide on your topic. Make it relevant to your target audience and make it a great title to draw them in. Now, there's a difference between, you know, a workshop or a presentation that's called How to Get Organized and one that might be, you know, get organized for Christmas and, you know, make sure, you know, it's mother-in-law, make your house mother-in-law worthy or something like that. One title is, you know, it's informative, but the other title really hits home about people's fears and they're going to go, yeah, I need that. I need to be organized before Christmas. So make sure it's a title that draws in your target audience. Step two, decide on your venue. Now, when you're deciding on your venue, we're looking around where you might speak, be careful that wherever you speak matches your brand. I had a bit of a horror story one time. I booked out a workshop. I had people booked in for a workshop and I had booked a room at a community centre. The room I had booked at the community centre I had used before, but and so I was very comfortable with it. However, disaster struck when I went to pick up the key for the venue, there was nobody there. I got into the building. They'd given me just one key, that's right. But they hadn't given me the key for the actual room, just for the front door. Now, this building was a community centre that had a childcare room in it. And that was the only room that we could get into. So I hastily set up the workshop in there. People had to sit on those dinky little kiddie seats. And unfortunately, it smelled of nappies. It was shocking. Thankfully, the people that attended were very understanding and we had a bit of a laugh about it, but I certainly wouldn't recommend it. And coming back to branding, it is not something I wanted my business to be aligned with. So, you know, I didn't let that happen again. As I said, some venues will do some marketing for you. That is a factor. And, of course, an online venue, like a teleclass, a webinar, you can actually reach more people. Because one of the things about in-person presentations is you're never going to be able to choose a place and a time that suits everybody. So that's just one of the downsides. Step three is to market your event, obviously. You want to get it out there as much as possible. Step four, write the content. Now, see, step four is write the content, not step one. Don't spend hours and hours figuring out the content and how it's going to, you know, all the things that you're going to say. Just figure out the topic and the title and then get rolling on the marketing. There's no point in writing content for a beautiful workshop that people don't book in for. So get the marketing happening and then write your content. And in fact, what you can do is, as you're doing the marketing, find out what people want to know about that topic. What is it that they're wondering? And it might help you with generating your content for it. Step five is to create your handouts or your PowerPoint presentation or whatever you're going to get people to you know, engage with you. My tip on that is to keep it simple. Of course, the more you're getting paid, the greater detail people expect. But if we're talking about a simple workshop, how to get organised style presentation, keep it simple. You don't have to have every single point written down. And in fact, people learn best if they take their own notes. So make sure that's a possibility as well. Step number six, create the feedback forms. Now, this is where you get to capture their contact details. Of course, you get to capture things like testimonials as well. So include a space for their contact details. Include a question like, what is your biggest problem in getting organised? Why you ask that is so that you've got a reason to get back to people. You've got a reason to say, hey, Mary, thanks for coming to the workshop. You wrote that your biggest problem was your kitchen bench. You know, let's talk about that. It also might generate some ideas for future presentations. It's really good to know what people are struggling with so that you can offer them solutions to that in the future. Include on your feedback form the ability to sign up to a newsletter. Include the ability to recommend another speaking group. Remember, we talked about that earlier. So have a think about how will you use your feedback forms. Step number seven is to rehearse. Figure out your timings, figure out what you're going to say when, what is your cue to do a certain activity, etc. Get comfortable with the pace of it. Get comfortable using the technology even, if you're using some kind of projector, make sure you know how it works. make sure the clicker works, that's the little presentation wand that moves the slides forward, and so on. Check the venue. Don't do what I did. Make sure you can get into the venue. Check it for heat, cold, sound. Make sure people can hear you and see you well. Make sure there's comfortable seats and enough seating for everybody and enough, you know, drinking water and all those sorts of things. And then step 9, deliver a great workshop or talk. That has to come into it naturally. And 10, number 10 step is follow up. That's so important. Don't walk away from your presentation and go, oh, I'm done, thank goodness, because you're not. You've now got to follow up with those people and wow them all over again. And that is how you grow your organizing business by speaking, and that's in the follow up. Finally, the third and final code word is steps, STEPS. I've given you 10 steps to follow. Now, final quick Q&A for you. Has anybody got any questions?
How do you store your data, on paper or digital?
Which data do you mean?
Like your data, like your client's database.
Oh, client database.
Yeah.
I use Constant Contact.
Okay.
Yeah. It's an online, it's a service online.
Yes.
But something as simple as Excel when you're first starting out would be useful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need 100 before you can start, you know, telling people about stuff. But I would say, as far as email marketing goes, there are free options like MailChimp, and that is a really good way to store some data, contact details and so on. But you might, you know, if you're not at that stage yet, you might even just create a distribution group in your email contacts, you know. Just to get the word out there. But, yeah, I would quickly start going towards some email marketing services for the database, yeah. Any other questions? Okay. If you do have questions, please let me know. Send me an email. Send that along. I'll give you that address in a minute, but you could also, if you're in Professional Organisers Edge, drop a question into the Facebook group. I'm happy to have a chit-chat there, and it's good to get other people's opinions as well. So the next teleclass for the Professional Organisers Edge is on January the 12th, which is 2 weeks earlier than normal. And the reason is, one is I'm on holidays later, but the other one is that this topic that I'll be sharing is something that you want to get onto as early in the new year as possible. The topic is fresh ideas to kickstart your best year yet. Now, I'll share some ideas about how to surprise people, surprise and delight them, and do something a little different so you stand out from the crowd and get people on board with you for your business so that you can actually make 2016 the best year for your business yet. And I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. Now, for January only, as I said, it's on January the 12th, which is a Tuesday. And it is the same day as our Professional Organisers Edge Q&A call. So our members will be busy. They'll be calling in the morning for the Q&A call and again in the evening for the teleclass. Now, what to do with the code words? You've got your three code words. Now, email them to me at angela creatingorder.com.au, and I will provide you with a certificate of participation in this teleclass that you can use for your accreditation in APO. And I really highly recommend that everybody strives for accreditation. It's well worth it. So thank you very much for listening, and I wish you all the best. All the best with speaking to grow your organising business. Cheers.
Thank you.